right now. If things are working as they should, with a bit of luck, I'll have Margaret on the phone. Hello, Margaret. Can you hear me?
Hello. I certainly can, Scott.
My word. Look at that. The magic. The magic of it all.
The miracles of technology, no less.
Well, it is if I play with it, I'll tell you. So anyway, as I was saying, it's once more time to welcome back Margaret Mills for her regular book review. And this time, you've chosen what at first sight appears to be a real shocker. So yeah. You better tell us more.
Oh, spooky or what? This is called The Haunting of Alma Fielding, a true ghost story, and it's written by a lady called Kate Summerscale.
Well, is it actually true then? Because as I'm confused by the title, it says it's a true story, or isn't it?
Well, let's put it this way. If anyone read Kate's previous book, or one of them, The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher, they will know the enormous amount of research this lady does. And I think she's equaled, if not exceeded, herself on this one. So, yes, it is a true story. Mm. But, of course, it's very difficult when you're going from other people's accounts. There is a suggestion that some of the story has been, shall we say, embroidered.
Well, that's the sort of thing that I do if I want to make a story sound really good. So what is it actually all about then?
Right. Well, the action really takes place in Thornton Heath, in a terraced house, Thornton Heath, London suburb, in 1938. And actually, the date's quite crucial to the plot of the book, because you're talking a year before the Second World War begins. So it's a very tense, testing time. Shall we say there's a sense of foreboding throughout the whole book, which she does very well. And it concerns Alma Fielding, who is a 34-year-old housewife. She's married to Les, who's a builder. She has one son of 16, Donald, and a lodger lives with them in the house. So far, so normal, really.
Right.
But also into the story comes a man called Nandor Fodder. Well, I'd never heard of this man before, but apparently he was the chief investigator for the Institute of Psychical Research based in Kensington.
Right, and what was he actually involved in? He was investigating, because wasn't it to do with the Croydon poltergeist or something?
Yes, absolutely. He was actually, Fodder was tipped off by a local clergyman. When I say local, I mean a Thornton Heath local clergyman, about Alma and Alma's experiences. And these strange happenings were centred around Alma. They didn't seem to involve anybody else in the house, the husband, the son, the lodger. And all sorts of strange phenomena. I mean, think flying crockery, white mice crawling out of nowhere, eggs flying through the air, beetles coming out of people's gloves.
Well, that thing with the eggs would be no yoke.
Well, she did get a bit scrambled over it, but, best I could do. So all sorts of strange phenomena were happening. And, he wrote to Fodder, thinking that Fodder, who had a great interest in all of this, wrote reams and reams about it. Fodder, incidentally, was Jewish. He was Hungarian. And he thought that this sounded just the sort of thing that Fodder would step in and investigate. And really, the largest part of the rest of the book is about Fodder's investigation, the meetings that took place, either one-to-one with Fodder and Alma, or with a group from the Institute of Psychical Research. Because Fodder very quickly feels that, not exactly he's out of his depth, but he ought to bring others in to substantiate the deductions that he's making.
Now, I understood from reading some of the synopsis on this that there were things like, in the house, a wardrobe threw itself across the room.
Yeah.
And there were all sorts of things crawling out of this this woman's body where she was producing them. And even when they went under controlled conditions, mm-hmm. where she was absolutely naked and... these things were still happening. So,
that's right.
Is it real?
Well, he even went to the trouble of x-raying this woman to make sure that she didn't have anything concealed about her person, that such as metal objects that would show up. However, I think... one of the things that struck me was that at one point in the investigations, she actually claimed to have hurt her knee, and therefore she'd put a bandage round her knee, which couldn't be seen because the skirt she was wearing was a fairly long one.
Right.
But somebody noticed a bird suddenly dropped out of her clothing from whereabouts. They couldn't say, but a dead bird falls out. Now, the first thing you think of, well, hang on a minute, if she's got a bandage wrapped round her knee, this wasn't on the occasion where she was searched or x-rayed. What was to stop her binding that bird round her knee? Because it's interesting that as soon as she arrives at the Institute for Psychical Research, she goes off to the ladies' cloakroom.
All right.
So there are things in the investigation that you think, well, hang on a minute, if I was fodder, I would be looking deeper into that. But did she actually orchestrate these things? Was she that clever? Or was it, as fodder believed, something to do with her subconscious? And fodder's theory was that an incident had happened to her in her childhood that she'd buried deep within her subconscious. And when that happens, apparently, that incident creates its own entity.
What, that can throw things across rooms and produce?
Oh,
really?
A poltergeist, in other words.
Because he clearly wanted this to be the real thing, huh?
Oh, I think he did. I think he did. And this was the theory he came up with, that each of us, and it obviously he wasn't just talking about Alma Fielding, but each of us, if we've got an incident buried deep in our past, and we've really tried not to address that incident can sort of hive off from our body and become, or hive off from our mind, I suppose I should say, and form a life force of its own, capable of very destructive behaviour until such time as it's actually addressed.
So what happened to this woman after all of these investigations?
Well, in the end, it sort of really all stops.
Just peters out.
Fodder is persuaded not to take it any further because several of the members of the Institute for Psychical Research have real concerns that what Fodder is doing, whilst he means well, is not helping Alma Fielding. She's becoming increasingly like a showbiz character. She almost turns herself into a celebrity because of it. And far from being distraught over what's happening to her, she's quite playing to the gallery over it.
Now, you know, I noted reviews varying from a well-written and easily digested snapshot of one man's project, a scientific view with a typically non-scientific world, to after a brisk and exciting start, I found myself really struggling to stay interested during the middle section before the book picked up again towards the end. What I really want to know is your take on the book. Would you recommend it?
Right. I found the book absolutely fascinating.
Mm.
Not from the point of view of I necessarily believed that Alma Fielding was genuine, because to be honest, I don't know one way or another.
Mm.
There were episodes where I thought, you can't fake this. But there were other episodes, i.e. the bird,
mm.
where I felt, hang on a minute, I can see how this could be done.
Mm.
So I would say it kept me reading because it was so well written. And Kate Summerscale has really got under the skin of mm-hmm. the different people that she portrays. Fodder. I mean, he comes across quite clearly as somebody who is very determined to get a scientific reason for mm. what's happening. But in the end, he gives up. I mean, as it happens, he can see what's coming as far as World War is concerned. And being a Hungarian Jew, he takes himself off to America with his wife and child.
I'm not surprised.
And, you know, takes mm. further qualifications. Mm. and becomes a psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
Alma and her husband, Les, and their son move to the West Country, and you won't be surprised to hear that she then sort of makes a living of sorts, giving seances.
Mm, right, okay.
So, you know, the protagonists all go their different ways, but there really isn't a clear-cut answer to it. The Institute for Psychical Research themselves, in the end, say to Fodder, look, this has got to stop because you're not helping this woman. You're really messing with her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the end, Fodder realises, although he doesn't actually go so far as to admit it, that they could have a point. And he's really not getting anywhere because he hasn't got a conclusive answer.
Right. So, in the end, would you recommend it? And who do you think would derive most enjoyment from it?
Well, I would recommend it because I think whatever you think of the story, and there will be people that are poo-pooing it from page one.
Yeah.
But whatever you think of the story, is Kate Summerscale has made a wonderful job of portraying 1930s London, 1930s Britain, leading up to the Second World War. There is a wonderful element of social history mm-hmm. in this book. So I think for anyone that's interested in the 30s, and, of course, the 30s were so close to the First World War
yep.
that people were still coming to terms with the dreadful loss of life in the First World War. So you can understand how spiritualism, the supernatural, poltergeist, anything like this would receive a ready audience, really. So to me, I think it's brilliant from the social history point of view, if nothing else. But the story is meticulously well researched.
Mm-hmm.
There is no neat tying off at the ending. There's no, yes, Alma Fielding was a fraud.
Mm.
No, Alma Fielding was genuine. That doesn't happen. But you're left with a real insight into the climate of the 1930s leading up to the Second World War. And the story, I find, yes, there is a bit in the middle, and I can understand what that reviewer is saying. There is a bit in the middle where things seem to be repeato, ditto.
You right.
think, we've been down this road before, three chapters ago, but it does quickly sort itself out.
Okay, well, remind us once more of the title, etc.
Right, the title is The Haunting of Alma Fielding, A True Ghost Story, and it's by Kate Summerscale. And paperback, about £13,
mm-hmm.
wherever you happen to go, Amazon, Waterstone, yep. Smiths, whatever, and £5 on Kindle.
Fair enough, all right. And have you chosen a title for your next review?
I have chosen a title for my next review.
Uh-huh.
It's The Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman.
Is that the guy on the Gogglebox?
It is the very same.
All right. Okay, well, we look forward to that, and we'll sort out a date with you in due course.
Thanks, Scott.